This is the Pacifica National Board Programming Committee meeting, and my name is Rob Robinson. I'm the chair, and we're going to call the meeting to order right now. It's 8:52 p.m. by my time, and we're going to try to conclude this call by approximately 10:30. Secretary Serene, would you please call the roll for us, if you'd be so kind?
Teresa Allen?
Here.
Maria Almodian?
Kate Campbell? She's not here.
Here.
Ken Freeland?
Here.
Patty Heffley?
Here.
Ingozi Canal?
Here.
Arturo Lemus is absent, excuse the absence. Roberto Martinez?
Here.
Alan Minsky asked for... Did he ask him?
He's coming in late.
Okay. Sean Rose?
Here.
Oh, that's why he didn't answer your phone. I'm here. Sue and Roberts, Rob Robinson?
Here.
Bonnie Simmons?
Here.
William Walker?
I didn't get an answer.
Yeah, I think he said to me that he wouldn't be present. And Joe Wandela? Joe? Is it Wandala or Wanzala? Does anyone on the call know?
Wanzala.
Okay. With 10 people present, we have quorum.
Okay, terrific. First thing I'd like to do is entertain a motion to approve the minutes, if possible.
Well, I move that we approve the minutes. This is Teresa.
Second it, Ngozi.
You want to do the minutes first?
Yeah, I think, the agenda first, rather.
Yeah, we're on the agenda right now.
Is that what you said?
Yes.
Mm-hmm. I'm sorry.
I moved that we approve the agenda. This is Teresa.
And I second it. And goes it.
Okay, all in favor of approving the agenda, please say aye.
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 All opposed?
Aye. One moment, please.
Yes?
I'm looking at... Oh, I'm sorry, this draft report, wrong one. Hang on just one second, please. There it is. Okay. No problem.
Okay, if I hear no objections, we'll declare the agenda approved. Hearing none, the agenda is approved. Now we're on to the minutes.
Can I just interject? This is Kate Campbell, WPFW. Who is writing the minutes? Serene is writing the minutes for us?
I am.
Hello?
Yes.
But we weren't getting the minutes from you.
I sent out minutes yesterday, I think, for the second meeting. The first meeting, Ken had sent out.
Who's doing the minutes, though, on a regular basis? You are?
Serene is our secretary.
I am now.
So we'll get the minutes well in advance?
Hopefully.
Do we have minutes for the meeting for the 26th yet?
Of April?
Yes.
No, I do not.
Yeah, we're
halfway done.
Well, I'm thinking because we're considering, I know I had some ideas about information that we ought to consider for not only the Pacifica, well, for the Pacifica board, but for each individual station, and which means that we're going to have our minutes well in advance.
I completely accept that, and I believe I sent a letter out saying that I would happily step down if someone else wanted to step up to the task.
Well, is there anyone else who would like to step up to the task?
Is there someone that can take the minutes for this evening? Meeting.
This is Teresa. I'm assuming that Serene will get the minutes out from this evening's meeting as quickly as possible. Is that correct for Serene?
Even if we just
Kate seems to have a concern about the.
I was just thinking maybe if we could have them a couple of days in advance of the meeting, that would be good.
And your concern is completely legitimate, and I will do my best and. You know, I'm more than happy to step aside if someone else is willing to do it.
Well, since you're the
Mr. Chair, I move the agenda. Orders
okay.
of the day.
I just wanted to finish my thought. If you're the secretary and you could get them a couple of days, even if it's just 6 or 7 days in advance, that would be wonderful, Ms. Secretary, if you don't mind.
I don't mind at all.
Okay.
sent
Thank
out a letter
you.
Explaining yesterday
okay,
why they were late and offering to step aside without.
No, we don't want you to step aside, just maybe a couple of days.
Mr. Chair, I move the orders of the day.
I have a suggestion, if I might, Mr. Chair.
Yes. Ms.
Shireen, I noticed how detailed and very involved your minutes are, and I greatly appreciate that. I'm wondering, and so therefore I can tell that it takes quite a bit of time to be as conscientious about them as you are. I wonder if it would feel okay for you if following the meeting, maybe a couple of days after, or maybe even immediately following the meeting, if you just sent us out the skeletal minutes. You know, just something that we could be guided by, and we would know that the details would be coming later.
That's,
because I can tell that you put fine. Quite a bit of time into them.
That's fine.
Okay.
Hi, I'm sorry to interrupt. This is Eva.
Oh, hey.
Hi, Eva. Hi. Teresa, I got your call. I'm sorry. I had scheduled the call for 8:30 Pacific time. So, I was...
We're just running over a couple of housekeeping items, Eva.
Okay.
Okay, that's a great suggestion, Ngozi, and I heard Serene saying that she thought she could comply with that. Is that correct?
Indeed.
Okay, terrific.
That sounds great.
Then can we entertain a motion to approve in this order the 3:28 minutes and the 4:26, what are the dates on the minutes, Serene, that we've got before us? We didn't vote on the 3:28 minutes, right?
3:28 minutes are the ones that I sent out to you guys yesterday.
Okay, the previous ones, you said we brought the motion up, but we didn't vote on it.
Right. This is Teresa. I move that we approve the March minutes.
One moment. This is Ken Freeland. There was a problem in one of the sets of minutes, and I think it was the one that was just recently set out, in which two things were run together on the... discussion of core programming.
May I get on the start?
So I'd like to move that there be an amendment or a change in that so that it's very clear that the this was in the three. Let me see which one this is. 3:28 minutes under discussion of core programming, which is about midway down.
Okay, can I get on the start?
Yes,
I think
yes.
Robert.
There were about
Ken.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, can you hear me? Robert's speaking about a different set of minutes when you came in on that, so I think we should maybe address them separately.
We're not talking about the 3:28 minutes.
No.
If you let me finish what we're talking about, Robert's pointing out that the March 8 minutes, which are the set that you did, that we talked about it, and there was general consensus on the call, but we didn't actually vote on approving them.
Oh, I thought we'd already
so
approved
we
those,
like
I'm sorry.
So we wanted to get those out of the way quickly and then move to the 28 minutes, which is the one that you want.
This is Teresa. May I move that we approve the March 8th minutes?
Second.
Don't move. Do we have a second?
Second.
All in favor of approving the March 8th minutes?
Who was that? Who seconded?
Ken Freeland.
Teresa Allen, seconded by Ken Freeland. All in favor of approving the March 8th program? Pardon me?
Could we just do without objection? I mean, just ask, you know, whatever.
Yeah, if we're going to approve them by acclamation, could everyone, is there an objection to us approving the March 8th minutes? If so, please speak now. Hearing no objection, the March 8th minutes are approved by acclamation. Now we'll get on to the March 28th minutes of the Programming Committee meeting. And Mr. Freeland has an issue that he would like minuted.
Great. The discussion of core programming issue, which is midway in the document. It says discussion of core programming, call for programs for network-wide collaborative, set proposals to be evaluated by subcommittee, peopled by PMB Programming Committee, and management. I'm not sure about that in management. I don't remember that that part of it. Somebody can correct me if I'm wrong on that. But the key thing here is that right after that sentence, there's another whole thing about concerns include need for National Point Person Committee asked by PNB with providing recommendation regarding National Program Director and so forth, things that don't really have to do with that particular subcommittee's work. And so I'm concerned that these two things have kind of been run together, and if we can just create a separation between them. Evidently, there were two different discussions that were kind of run together there, I guess, is all I can figure.
Yeah, actually, may I?
Yes, please.
My recollection is that after the presentation, all of these things were a part of that discussion. Whether or not they should have been raised there is one issue, but that is where they were raised. And the term management is used because the involvement of program directors who are, along with general managers, management at the station.
Well, here's my concern, is that it says later in the document that substitute motion by Ken Freeland to form committee to flesh out proposal and address concerns was passed unanimously, but it doesn't say which concerns it's referring to, and it clearly needs to be about the programming proposal and not about the whole thing about the program director and so forth and so on. And I just wanted that.
You mean about your pilot project proposal?
Yes. Yes.
Okay. Can you write down an amendment and search and send it to Serene?
Yes.
And copy the rest of us. Would that be satisfactory?
Can I make a suggestion that we
simply
postpone dealing with this and move on to the meeting because it's already 9:00?
Yeah,
is it a problem if he just sends you what he thinks the motion was?
Well,
Green?
I think it would only be fair that other people have a right to actually look at it.
Yeah, they need to be able to read it too.
So,
Mr. Chair, shouldn't the shouldn't a resolution be written down to start with? So it shouldn't just say they passed a resolution to discuss these items. It should say specifically in the resolution what they're actually doing. So
yeah, I'm a little bit vague myself, so let's move on.
I move that we postpone the...
Let's postpone this.
Okay.
So we've all had a chance to look at the minutes more carefully.
Yeah.
Is that satisfactory to everyone?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
All right, then, hearing no objection to that, we're going to table the vote on the 328 minutes.
Until our next meeting?
Pardon me?
Until the next meeting.
Until the next meeting, yes.
And in the meantime, Ken, if you would send us what your concern is, we can get on board with understanding what you're pointing out.
Fair enough.
Right. I'd like to move to the next item of the agenda. We had agreed that we would talk with Eva Georgia, the general manager of KPFK. Eva, you're still with us?
Yeah, I'm here, Rob.
Okay, thank you. And what we wanted to do was we wanted to get some input from Eva about how she's envisioning the Spanish language newscast so that we as a committee can get a sense of how a national program like this is being put together, and we can talk about some of the policy issues as we go forward. Is that clear to everyone? Okay, Eva, could you tell us a little bit about how you envision this broadcast and give us a little bit of background?
Specifically with the Spanish language?
Newscast, yes.
We have, thanks for having me. We wrote a grant proposal for this national program, which would be once a week Spanish language newscast, 1 hour a week to start off with. And so we should know by June 10th if we're getting that grant money or not, but we've also, and we send the proposal out, the grant proposal out on behalf of the network. We've also sent, I think, in addition, 3 more proposals out. And so pretty much the idea is that it would be produced from KPFK simply because we have Fernando there and we have the infrastructure ready to do it. And we can start this program tomorrow from KPFK. But also that means that the different stations would have to make available 1 hour a week in their program grid to do this. And this would be all the stations contributing to this 1 hour cast. Fernando has set up extensive, I think, this infrastructure set up where there's been collaborations with Central and Latin America to carry this broadcast as well. So that's kind of some of the nitty-gritty of it. I think that there was definitely, the GMs were very supportive when we talked about this. So I think that we are at a stage that we could make it happen. And that's pretty much where it is at this point. We wrote a grant proposal for a news director, a news editor, and I believe two full-time reporters. So a number of four full-time staff members to produce this.
Mm-hmm.
And I said it's a grant proposal, so we won't know at least until June 10th on this one grant proposal if we're getting any money. And we are consistently pursuing donors to put money into this broadcast. So that's pretty much where it is.
Okay, just trying to sew together some of the ideas that you're bringing forward here. So there had been a program that Fernando Valenzuela has on KPFK now.
Well, we have a half-hour bilingual newscast every morning at 5:30.
Right.
So that program is, I think we launched it about a year ago, and it's doing very well. It has received tremendous support. People want to be in the day, but the show has been on for a year now, or I think close to a year.
Mm-hmm. And I understand that he's got contacts throughout the media in South America and Central America.
Yeah, we have also, we've spoken, I met with Radio Bilingue last year in San Francisco, and at that point they had just bought into a programming deal. I hope everybody knows who Radio Bilingue is.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, so they bought into a programming deal with Mexico, which would include 30 stations in Mexico and an audience of, I think it was 20 million people that would be able to listen to the broadcast. That was what Radio Bilingue bought into, and they were willing to include KPFK, Spanish language newscast, into that proposal. And at that point, we couldn't...
Hi, William Walker's here.
I didn't want to just do it as KPFK. I wanted to do it as the network, and I couldn't move it, unfortunately. But Radio Bilingue is still interested in doing this.
Mm-hmm.
It would be 30 public radio stations in Mexico. And they've signed up this deal. They're doing the programming with them. And their idea was to exchange programming with KPFK. But as I said, my interest was that we do this as a network with Radio Bilingue. That's another area that's really, you know, where we've explored it, we've talked about it, we've put the plans in motion. It's ready to move when we can get the money to move this.
I have a question, Kay Campbell.
Sure.
Is that Spanish radio, Hispanic radio from the United States to the other to the Latin American countries, or is it a mixture of information from across the world?
It's that particular thing with Radio Bilingue is an exchange of programming between Mexican public radio broadcasting and Radio Bilingue.
Right. I mean, I understand, but the news content, is that coming, the information in the United States, is that information focused primarily on Hispanics in the U.S.? How does that work out?
Well, I think Mexico obviously focuses on Mexico.
Mm-hmm.
I think that they also focus on the entire Central and Latin America.
Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. So then how would the, in terms of the United States, PFW, would that be, you know, worldwide in terms of it, or would it be focused primarily on Hispanics in the United States? That's my question.
No, it would be worldwide.
Okay, thank you.
It would be an international newscast.
Okay, great. Thank you.
Okay. Just one, quickly, Eva, the resolution to create this broadcast, was this something that occurred after you had done the grant proposal? What's the relationship between the resolution and the planning that you've had in train at KPFK?
I'm sorry, you were breaking up because I'm driving. Can you repeat that, Rob?
What's the relationship between the resolution that the National Board...
Oh, okay. Okay, I got that. When we met in Los Angeles at the PNB, KPFK, I had put forward that we would write a grant proposal for this resolution because I just wanted to see it move. And so that it came out of the resolution.
I see. Okay, very good. So you're expecting to hear back sometime in June about the grant proposal that would help you staff this up?
This one particular grant proposal, yes.
Right.
And you know, it's. I think we have a really good chance because there's not a lot of other broadcasters. There's not other Spanish language public radio in L.A. There's a lot of Spanish language in L.A., and I'm not aware of a national Spanish language news broadcast in public radio yet.
Now, would this have a bilingual component to it, or would it be all Spanish language?
You know, the resolution was for Spanish, and I think there's still a discussion about bilingual. I think for us, either way would be fine. I think at some point, that discussion still needs to be explored.
I see. As a general manager, what do you see? What benefits and drawbacks do you see either way?
I think there's drawbacks on both because if you're talking about a daily newscast in the middle of the day, where you do Spanish language newscasts, you kind of exclude your English medium listeners. And we already sit with that, right, because we have Spanish language every night. So, the listeners have not fully recovered from that yet. After 2 years, they still feel excluded. The Spanish language community, on the other hand, feel like, look, you know, we have the right to have this broadcast in our own language. I think that we probably would have greater success if we do this as a bilingual cast because we would be able to educate our listeners, our English-speaking listeners, on the issues that affect people of, you know, all over Latin and Central America that has immigrant communities here in the United States and sensitize them to the issues and the daily struggles that people face within their own communities that, you know, reflects across the border both ways.
Are there any comments from the committee on that?
Oh, I definitely agree with that. I understand.
It's divided.
I mean, I understand why many people would want it in Spanish, and I would be open to whatever the Hispanic community decided. But I think it would, particularly here in Washington, D.C., where there's a large Hispanic population, I think it would be wonderful for the people here that are not Hispanic to hear what's going on in the Hispanic community and across the world.
Norberto,
so
have you got anything to...
Yeah, for the...
What's your perspective on that?
Yeah, I would think that... I think all the other stations do have news cast in Spanish, and in WPFW we do lack some of that. We also lack some public affairs at WPFW, and I know the other stations do have that as well. So it would be, to start, at WPFW would be nice to have it bilingual.
To start.
Since it is, you know, mm-hmm. we're not, our population is sort of not ready to have Spanish-only programming. We haven't had it in the past, and I don't know exactly how it would be received here.
Okay, good. I just wanted to hear your thoughts on that. Eva, the next question that I have is that can you tell us a little bit as a manager how you go from taking this as the broadcast that you have now at 5:30 in the morning? What would you do to develop this as into a national program?
Well, I'm about to make a really unpopular decision at KPFK and move the 5:30 a.m. Spanish language broadcast into my midday cast.
Mm-hmm.
And the challenge yet... Hey, you're breaking up.
I'm sorry. I wish I knew what to do.
Sorry, what was that? Sorry, you were breaking up.
No, I'm just saying I understand. I don't know what I can do to stop from breaking up.
I'm just in a really bad area. I tried to pull over in a better area right now. I'm about to move the bilingual cast into 12:30 at KPFK.
Mm-hmm.
And I'm hoping that we could make that happen in the next 2 months after our fund drive.
Right.
And part of that is just, you know, having enough money and staff to be able to do it, because there's a lot of stations waiting for us to do this, to contribute to the Spanish language cast. But I think it's going to be very difficult. I don't foresee doing Spanish language newscasts in the daytime. I think we will just exclude people. My sense is to go to with bilingual, and I think one of the things I want to do that we discussing right now is to just a postcard or something to our listeners and let them know that this is what we're considering, and getting their feedback
mm-hmm.
on, you know, the different options. Do you want Spanish? Do you want bilingual? Do you want interlingual? What works best? And just kind of get a sense from the listeners as to what their response is going to be. I think that's the first step. We're working on that. That should go out in the next couple of weeks. I think that's probably something that the other stations that I would strongly suggest everybody do around the system, because I'm hoping that this would go beyond just the Pacific, that we could also do this with the affiliates and hopefully generate a half-hour cast that could be used either in 30-minute segments or in a one-hour segment, because I realize it's very difficult for stations to make an hour available.
Mm-hmm.
So if we produce it in 30-minute cast, then you can choose whether you want to, you know, run the...
Oh, did we lose her altogether?
Sounds like it.
Oh, Lord.
Bob, I was thinking that could come under our town hall meeting as well.
Well, help me out here with the rest of the group. It sounds to me like this discussion, it sounds like we need to get more of the programmers and producers and program directors involved in understanding what's going on here.
Didn't we have a plan for that, that there was going to be discussions at the station level, or I'm sorry, involvement from every station level? They were going to get representatives to be part of a larger meeting at some point?
Right.
That's what I remember, too.
We had discussed that was essential, but what we're trying
to... Hey, Bob, sorry. I'm driving to my class, so I can't be on the landline. I'm trying to just get into a place where I can get a better signal.
Okay. The question that we were touching on related to what you just said, Eva, is what are some things that we can do to get you network support, number one, so that the other producers and programmers and general managers understand what's going on, and how we can provide support where we have Spanish language newscasters and programmers, one. And the second thing is, what can we do to help educate our audiences, in your view?
I think part of what this is really good is just starting to have the conversation with the station managers and PDs. Maybe that would be a conference call you want to do, or in whichever way you want to do it. I think if we can get a commitment, a firm commitment from everyone, look at a possible time frame to do this, and whether people would are able to do this half hour a week or 1 hour a week, so that we know where we stand. Maybe send out a memo to our affiliate, to the Pacific affiliates through Ursula. Contact Ursula. Let them know this is the resolution. This is what we're planning to do. We'd like to get input.
Okay.
The affiliates, and then once the discussion happens on a more, okay, this is the plan, this is how we're looking at implementing it, then let's send out a response to our listeners. But I think the GMs and PDs need to start having the discussion at a station level so that producers and programmers can have input, and people know that this is not just another conversation happening that's going to be on the shelf, but that this is ready to happen.
Okay. So if this committee, even though we're governance and you're management, if we take the lead on behalf of the network to get that discussion together and reach out to everybody, that will help you in what you're trying to do, right?
Oh, absolutely, and I think, you know, if you just get the GMs and the PDs on the call or start having the conversations one by one,
okay,
that would go a long way, because I think everybody's kind of waiting, sitting to see who's going to make this happen.
Okay, so since we're sort of charged with trying to make those things happen, even though we're governance, all we're trying to do is get the network to talk to itself to make it easier for you to get this going. So if we take the lead on that, that's not stepping on your toes, right?
Not on mine, personally not. I don't think so, and
right.
I don't think that the GMs that's around the system today would think that you're stepping on their toes. I could also initiate a discussion this week with the general managers just to remind them about this conversation. But, you know, the PND passed a resolution. I would think part of governance is seeing that resolution through.
Sure. Well, I mean, if someone from the administrative council feels that they've been, you know, that we're doing something and going crazy, then you can remind them where you're coming from. I think
the administrative council is going to be very different in about 2 weeks.
right. I understand. I'm just on behalf of the committee members, since we typically don't get involved in this. I want everyone to know we're not trying. You know, we're trying to help make something happen for the network here.
Mm-hmm.
And I think this is how governance should work with management. We should be able to support what you're doing rather than telling you what to do.
To me, it's like you're not telling us what to do. You're asking for input as to how this resolution can you know, be implemented practically throughout the network.
Right.
And I think the healthiest thing that you can do is to talk to the GMs and the PDs, have that discussion happen at a station level with producers and programmers so that we can get input. So this is not about making a decision. It's simply, hey, we're consulting. We want to hear what you say. We want to see how we can move this resolution forward. And I think if we start doing this, that this sets the tone of how governance and management can work together on more and more projects.
Right. Do any members of the committee want to raise any questions or point anything out in this regard to Eva at this point in the conversation? Okay. So half the discussion would be about stations, what's acceptable, a half an hour per week or an hour per week, and how do we get into this dialogue with the affiliates? And then I think half of the discussion might also be from programmers and producers, program directors at the local stations that may feel that they have resources that they can help to put into as part of the resource for this broadcast.
Yeah, and whether the preference or, you know, what people sense are about Spanish versus bilingual, and then also, do they have resources available at the station? Because I would think that the different stations, we would like them all to contribute to the newscast. Obviously, it's not, you know, just being put together by Kay, but every station would have to contribute stories, and then it brings up the question whether you have either volunteers or staff at your station that can translate, do the translation, and that might be a cost for stations, or it might not. If you have Spanish language volunteers or staff, that might be easy to do, but the translation aspect would come in.
Mm.
You know, so that's definitely one thing that we need to look at.
Okay. That's good. So we've covered promotions, and Cade suggested that we should try to do a town hall meeting at some of our stations, or at least find ways to bring to the listeners the fact that this production is about to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So that they're aware of it. And any other thoughts around how we can advance and promote this better?
Once we get it out there, once we've talked to the programmers, or you've talked to the programmers and producers and GMs and PDs, if we have an agreement in principle, we can then easily do a national call-in show where we talk about this openly on the air and say, look, this is where we are today.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
you know, get all the stations to participate, have people call in on a 1-800 number. We have to consult our listeners. Even if we're going to make a decision that they don't want, the important thing is that the listeners feel that they participated in this and that their input is important.
Well, that's a great idea. Yeah, the national call-in. I like that.
Yep.
Any other implementation issues from members of the committee that you want, where you want to ask Eva a specific question? Or,
well, I just wanted to make a comment in terms of the town hall meeting, that possibly could be done for all the radio stations, and then that way we would bring in the voice of the Hispanic community.
Mm-hmm. May I respond to that? I think it's, you know, some of our board members have just come to me with a proposal to do a town hall meeting for the black community. And we did a town hall meeting in December last year that was really successful. I think it becomes extremely contentious when we create a town hall meeting to address one ethnic group, one issue.
No, I'm not talking about addressing one ethnic group. My proposal was that we have a town hall meeting to bring the community in to discuss programming that they would like to see. And the Hispanic community would be one aspect of that. You know, we have Arab Americans here, and then we're trying to bring the young people into Washington, into the radio station in Washington. So we were thinking of just having the community in general come in, which would also, of course, mean the Hispanic community, and then we could look at all the issues of programming on our particular station. So my thought was that possibly that could be done at other stations, but you're saying that you've already had town hall meetings. I know we need them in Washington, so we were looking at that for our station.
Well, thanks for the clarification. I think it's a great idea. We did one in December. It was hugely successful. We made some changes on the air that came from listener comments. We're about to do one in the next 2 months at KPFK, so we should have a town hall meeting again in July. That's what we're planning for now. So it's part of what, you know, it's another thing in the bylaws that's supposed to happen at every station, and it's probably a good reason to move it now.
Okay. But we also had discussed, or you had suggested, Eva, that it would be great to have a national call-in when we're rolling out this international Spanish language newscast, so the listeners are aware of it, how it came up, why it's there, you know, and what their station can do to participate or what suggestions they have. But that would deal specifically with the international Spanish language newscast. Is that clear?
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. You're correct there. And I think it would be a great idea for us to start involving our listeners more in these decisions and make them understand why Pacifica is making these decisions now in its history.
Well, that's great, and I wanted to ask you a couple of questions that don't deal specifically with that, if you have a few more minutes.
I have a couple of more minutes.
Okay. One is, you've got some guidelines, I understand, at KPFK for trying to get younger listeners targeted by the existing programming. Can you tell us a little bit about how that works?
Well, we had a one-day management board kind of retreat where we laid out our vision for the board at the beginning of this year, and part of that was, you know, how do we integrate youth into KPFK? And so we came up with a policy that we haven't fully implemented. It was to have 25% of all shows represent or contribute or address the issues of youth. And what we have now is we have some of the shows that started, some of the public affairs shows have consistent segments where they have youth contribute to their shows. We have youth contributing to news on specific issues with regards to youth. So in every area, we're starting to integrate because we realize if we want to make the changes to youth, that we would have to make another big programming change and kick people off the air, and that was just not an option. So our answer was to come up and have programmers integrate youth and shadow programmers on the air and have, you know, the older programmers or older voices have young people on to kind of mentor them and to give them space on the air, and just provide a voice for them. So that's kind of what we're doing right now, which I'm hoping we'll see bigger results in the next 6 months with this.
Okay, good. So that gives us some clues about the that relates to this 5% new voice resolution that we've been struggling with. But your idea was that you asked all of the programmers to try to find ways to integrate youth or to mentor youth or to create space for youth voices to be heard within the context of existing programming.
Yeah, and you know, I would say 99 of the programmers were very receptive to it.
Okay, great. The other question has to do with program evaluation, Eva, and how I know that perhaps since you've come into KPFK and you've been there for almost 3 years now, or for just 3 years now, you've innovated a number of new programs, and so I wanted to just get a sense from you of how we should be thinking about policy for program evaluation at Pacifica, based on your experience at KPFK.
I think part of the challenge that we also face at KPFK is the evaluation of programs. We're working with that on the program council now.
Mm-hmm.
So we have an ad hoc committee working on that. But I think one of the things, I think I've learned a lot of lessons from the program changes that I made at KPFK with regards to process. I could probably write up something on process, but I think the most important thing is if the station has a program council, to work with the program council. If you don't have a program council, then, you know, create a committee that's made up out of the different stakeholders to look at what's missing from the airwaves. What is it that you want to achieve in the next year, in the next 2, 3 to 5 years? What's missing? And then start creating policy around that. For us, it was the big thing, obviously, was Spanish language, increasing news, increasing public affairs. We didn't have public affairs on weekends. We now have, like, I think 10 or 12 hours of public affairs on weekends.
Mm-hmm.
We didn't have youth on the air. We have some youth shows, not enough. There was a lot of stuff that happened and a lot of unpopular decisions that was made. If I had to do it differently today, I would let the listeners know that this is what we're looking at and get their responses. And you can do it through a really quick, simple one-page survey that you can send out and explain to the listeners why you're looking at making those changes and ask them for their input and additional comments and where they think the station should go. When I came into KPFK, I met with thousands of listeners within the first 6 months. I was out every weekend and maybe twice a week having town hall meetings.
Mm-hmm.
And I think in the first 6 months, I met something like anything between 20 and 30,000 listeners. And it gave me a sense of what the listeners wanted. And that's why I was confident in making the changes, because I met with the listeners. So you could have town hall meetings, you can have online discussions, you can do a survey. I think before you do anything is that you consult, you ask the listeners, you get the input from the programmers, you ask, you know, until you come to an idea where you can stand in front of a whiteboard and say, okay, these are the things that we have. Now how do we make the changes? And then let the listeners know that you're going to make these changes. And, you know, for the programmers that's going to be let go, because you would probably have that, is to have a process of, making it known to them and give them the opportunity to say goodbye to their listeners. I think it's process and dealing with people in a way that they feel they are respected, they're not just kicked off the air, that their work that they've done for 20, 30 years is appreciated by Pacifica, but their change is inevitable. So that's kind of the things that I think, again, process, you know, creating a clear process and time frame for how and when this is going to to happen and informing people and realize that this is going to be a tough situation when you make major programming changes, and that the board is going to have, and the program council is going to have to work with management and create a collaborative work effort on this issue, because it's not easy to make major programming changes.
Yeah. Some of the specific things, let me just touch on that for a second, Eva. One of the things I'd like to hear from you is, because I know that you did work with your listeners a great deal, what were some of the things that communities of color told you about the role for community radio? In other words, did they just want something that would give them news, or what, you know, what was the breakdown between culture and news and public affairs, you know, and perhaps music and stuff like that? What were some of the things that you heard from communities?
Can I do a point of information, please?
Yes.
This is interesting, but and I thank Eva for her time, but I'm not sure that I understood at any rate that was going to be the purpose of this discussion tonight. And it's 9:35, so I'm wondering, am I the only person who's confused about this, or did you somehow get off into something else? Which is valuable, and it's a discussion that we need to have with all the GMs and PDs, perhaps, but why are we doing this now?
Well, because it relates to international Spanish language broadcast, but if you don't want to hear any more, that's fine.
That's hardly what I said, Rob.
Well, you know, thank you. I appreciate what you say. I wasn't sure. I thought that this conversation was about national programming, so it's kind of going in a couple of different directions. I have to go into class, so I have to get off the phone, too. Because I can't miss my class, so if anybody has any other questions about it.
I was under the impression, too, it was national programming, so I was interested in hearing what was being said.
Yes, okay, this is Serene, may I be recognized?
Yes. Robert?
Rob, are you there?
Yeah, I thought you were recognized, Serene, I'm sorry.
No, but Cade was speaking, so I asked if I...
I'm sorry. Serene, would you like to complete your statement?
It is a discussion that we do need to have with GMs and with PDs. We do need to have a conversation about national programming. But the issue that I understood we were going to be discussing was strictly the Spanish language broadcast. And I'm not quite sure that it's fair to put Eva in this position of asking her to discuss program-wide changes and network-wide changes and the strategy. And
I'm asking about her experience at
Rob,
KPFK.
I'd like to finish.
Maybe we need to release Eva and thank her very much and then continue this conversation.
Sure.
I appreciate that because I got to get into my class. Thank you so much. And
thank
and again,
you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you so
thank
much.
You. Okay, thanks. Bye.
Bye.
Hello?
Yeah, Serene, would you like to finish what you were saying?
Yeah, I'm unclear as to why we're having this level of conversation on this particular evening, on this particular agenda point. And I appreciate Eva's time, but I would like clarification here from a couple of other people as to maybe I just missed a beat.
This is Teresa, may I ask? I think it's water under the bridge, so she had to get off the phone. I think we should schedule another discussion. And maybe, I mean, she's a brilliant GM, and I appreciate everything that she's doing. I mean, she's the one that I think wrote the actual CPB grant. So, I mean, there's a lot more we can hear from her, but I think that we would kind of be creating some bad feeling if we only consult her. But somehow we should continue these meetings at other points in further meetings. So can we go to the next agenda item now?
Sure, we can. Does anyone have anything else to say? Okay, the next item that we have on our agenda is to have an update from Ken Freeland on his subcommittee that's working on collaborative broadcasts or core national programming. Ken, are you there?
Yes, I'm here. Those of you who are sitting at your computers, I just sent out a copy of this report, so you can read along if you wish. I'm going to skip some of the details, some of the discussion details of this meeting. But what I'm going to focus on is the proposal that has come out of this subcommittee meeting yesterday. It's a proposal for the pilot project that was previously agreed to in principle by the committee but had not yet been fleshed out. And now we think the parameters I'm about to read would together constitute a useful proposal and a very cost-conscious one for PNB approval. Upon approval by the committee, the pilot program should be proposed to the PNB. Its avowed purpose or mission will be to serve as a reservoir of reportage and analysis of issues and events on the, quote, cutting edge, unquote, i.e., underreported or unreported in the national media, and that the program's ultimate title should reflect this purpose, something like outside the box, the cutting edge, or something along those lines. The initial pilot period for this program would be 6 months from the first release of requested funds. The program would initially be offered on a weekly basis, but this could be increased or decreased depending on the quantity of stories of acceptable quality and content submitted. It is recommended that the National Programming Committee submit a request for a $5,000 subsidy from the Pacifica Foundation to be distributed as follows. $2,500 for a part-time producer who would thread together the selected segments into a one-hour broadcast quality program at $100 per week. $2,500 to compensate journalists for solicited stories. It is estimated that this would average about $100 per week. Stories, analyses that were identified by the board as unreported or underreported in the media. The subcommittee would solicit the commitment and involvement of, quote, alternative, unquote, media critics who have demonstrated a critical awareness of content constraints in existing reporting and analysis, who would form an editorial board of sorts to provide guidance to the show's content and direction. All editorial board service would be voluntary and uncompensated. Most of the stories and analyses would be gratuitously, in other words, voluntarily contributed, and would not incur programming costs.
Okay.
Only those reports and analyses that were solicited by the editorial board would be compensated. The part-time producer would work collaboratively with the editorial board in the selection of content for the program. The program would be 1 hour in length, produced in two independent half-hour segments in order to permit the possibility of a half-hour versus hour broadcast. The producer would be responsible for uploading the program to the appropriate shared vehicles, in other words, satellite, audio port, whatever, on a weekly basis. The show would be freely available to Pacifica stations and affiliates. And just one last little note, as a test of the viability of having a voluntary editorial board, all the subcommittee members present responded to my query by affirming an interest and willingness to serve on such an editorial board without compensation. So there you have it. That's kind of it in a nutshell. That's the fleshing out that we've done with this to bring it up as a pilot project and have it ready as a proposal for PNB approval. I'm sorry, for this committee's approval to be forwarded to the PNB.
Do any of the other members of the committee want to say anything about this proposal?
Well, I would like, this is Teresa. We didn't have it before today, right?
No.
No, the subcommittee met last night.
Mm-hmm. Well, I would suggest that we all study it and we take this up at the next meeting.
Alan Minsky here at KPFK, I agree.
Kate Campbell, I agree as well.
It's Bonnie. I do have some things to say about it. I did actually get a chance to read it, but I am happy to wait until the rest of the committee has had a chance.
This is Sean Rhodes at WBAI. Ken, could you share with us who were the members of that subcommittee?
Right. The members present were myself, Joe Wonsala, and Norberto Martinez.
And all of this was done last night?
Yes, sir.
There are other members of the committee.
There are two other members of the committee who were not present. Serene Roberts and Maria Armudian did not.
Okay. They weren't able to be at the meeting yesterday. Right,
yeah.
Right.
Covered a lot of ground.
Yeah, we did a lot of work. It was a very productive meeting and probably the best subcommittee meeting I've ever been a part of.
I'm not sure that this is timely, so stop me if we're going to just postpone this until other people have discussed. But could you just, I'm just sort of confused about part of this, about the editorial board.
I wonder if we could just discuss it after we've all had a chance to.
That's fine.
Well, wait a minute. This is Teresa.
I don't think there's a problem with Ken answering the question.
Yeah, I think that it might be beneficial if there are some obvious questions that we get the answers now, because we, if it's something that's obvious, we all might read the material and have the same question, so it might put us off on the right foot if we can address this briefly. If Rob, you want to allocate a certain amount of time on the agenda, if we're not behind, you know, allocate a certain amount if people have those kind of questions.
Well, let's give ourselves 10 minutes to ask questions about their proposal. But we are going to have to read it and ask more questions. But why don't we entertain a few questions right now? Is that acceptable to the group?
Yes.
Okay, good. Who has a question that they would like asked?
I have a couple, actually. It's Bonnie.
Bonnie, hit it.
I'm just trying to figure out about this editorial board to provide guidance to the show's content and direction. All editorial board service would be voluntary and uncompensated.
Mm-hmm.
Who is that board made up of?
It would be the purpose of the subcommittee or any appointed committee by this committee to solicit involvement of, as it says here, alternative is in quotes there, media critics who have demonstrated a critical awareness of content constraints in existing reporting analysis. These would be people from, you know, the Pacifico milieu who've shown an interest in this question and have demonstrated a critical ability with respect to media content. People from around the network, as well as anyone from outside the network that's identified as useful, somebody who would be a cutting edge, somebody who would challenge, the existing constraints of the media, and had maybe, you know, be demonstrated as being out on the cutting edge. Go ahead.
Sorry. We have had some discussions sort of along the lines of more of a board of people critiquing and just discussing news and some public affairs programming. But this is an odd twist to me, because if I read this correctly, you're talking about having a group of people from outside of the station actually having editorial control of what stories get reported?
Well, you say outside of the station, but this is viewed as a collaborative project.
Well,
So it's not outside of, not really outside of Pacifica. This is a Pacifica project, right? So presumably the core of the board would be drawn from within the, you know, Pacifica MOU. But the purpose of that would be to assure that the programming content remains, as it were, outside the box. In other words, that it doesn't end up being just another, mediocre news show of some sort, doing the same kind of stories that are being done elsewhere. That it assures that it pushes the envelope, as it were, of the content, so that it is the types of stories and analyses that are not done elsewhere, that are not being touched, you know, that are from the untapped segments of reportage. Or as it says in our mission statement, news not commonly found, or sources not commonly found together in the same medium.